Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. Honestly, it's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and talk about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's what we're going to hear from Richard in a way that only he can do, with words of hope, insight, and humor. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help get you on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. So let's get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Fresh Squeezed. Until I was about the age of 10, I guess, all the orange juice I ever drank came out of those little frozen deals where you had to undo the top, drop it in, mix it up. And then I moved to Brazil when I was 9, actually turned 10 when I got there. And something amazing happened. All of a sudden, oranges are everywhere, they're cheap, and the orange juice is all fresh. But to get it out, you have to slice that orange open, and you have to squeeze it to get the juice out. And if you've ever had fresh squeezed anything, you know it's better than anything that's frozen. I have a guy that I work with right now, a disciple that we meet at a place, and they have, and I think part of the reason I like going back here, is they have glasses, and it says fresh squeezed orange juice. And that's about all we order, and sit there and drink that. Something about it. I'd like to talk to you about some other fresh squeezed stuff. And I'd like to start in Proverbs chapter 28. So today is going to either be a lot of fun for you or really unpleasant. It just all depends on where you are and where you're willing to go and what you're willing to do to get there. Proverbs 28, and this is pretty simple, but sometimes it's the simple stuff, as we've said before, is easy to say, hard to do. But this is pretty simple. Proverbs 28:13, he who covers his sins will not prosper. Okay, so you say, well, I want to have a great life. I want to prosper. I want everything to be good. I want to move forward. I want it to be great. Then if you cover your sins, you will not prosper. So what do you do if you don't cover your sins? You uncover your sins. Who do you uncover your sins to? Primarily to God. Now the scripture does say, confess your sins one to another, therefore, you know, you'll be healed. So there is a time where you can confess to someone else, but your primary confession is to him. And if you go back to the end of the book, 1 John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it's pretty simple. Then confess your sin. You say, well, I've been doing that, but I keep doing the same old sin. Why is that? Look at the rest of the verse. But whoever confesses and what? Everybody got the word forsakes? Okay, confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. So if all you're doing and all I'm doing is confessing, but there's no forsaking, it's not going to work out. Okay, so you may be in this hamster wheel of confession where you say, oh God, I'm so sorry I did that. What you're really kind of saying, what we're really kind of saying is, wow, I feel horrible because I did that, and I want forgiveness, but I'm not really sure I want to give it up because I know how my cycle works. My little cycle here is that I do it, I feel bad, and then when I go to do it again, I don't remember how bad I felt when I did it last time. I just want to do it again. So I do it again. At some point, you have to get to the place where you say, look, God, I'm not just confessing this. I'm done. And I need you to log in my mind, in my heart, somewhere inside of me that this did not go well and it's not going to ever go well. And yes, there's a certain amount of pleasure. There's a high. There's a something that comes with this sin, but it's not working out for me because I'm hiding this thing. I'm covering this thing and it's consuming my life. I'm stuck. I'm frozen. There's nothing fresh in my life. I'm just stuck in this thing. And then if you're going to come to church and act like you are part of the church, and if you're a Christian, you are, but go through the motions, then you start feeling like a hypocrite. And then you just start feeling terrible. And then the devil says, dude, look at your life. You're so jacked up. You're so screwed up. Why do you even go back down there? You're not like those people. They're up here and you're down here and don't even go back. Then he isolates you and you're by yourself. And then there's nobody to tell. There's nobody to talk to. Before things get so bad, or you die. You say, what do you mean you die? Some of this stuff has death consequences. So he who covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. So you go to God and say, God, I confess this and I forsake it. I want it gone. And the next time we get to this situation where I want to go do this again, you've got to show me what the end game looks like so I don't live this way. Jeremiah 17, a few pages to the right. Jeremiah 17. And let's jump down into verse 5. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord, for he shall be like a shrub in the desert. That doesn't sound like a good thing. And shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Why are you not anxious in the year of drought? Because you're by water. You say, but there's a drought, but your roots tap water. And then look at verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Okay, so now here's kind of where we're going. If you start on the outside and you say, okay, I want my life to go better, so I'm going to do certain things to make it go better. I'm going to live a certain way, drive a certain way, whatever your deal is, live a certain way, you got that figured out. Then you go, well, but I think there's maybe more to the thing. I actually find Bible verses that say to do that, so I'm going to do it. But if all you're doing is doing and your heart is not in it, at some point the doing will not be enough. It may satisfy other people, your mom, whoever it is. Oh, you're doing so well. But if at the core your heart is not in even what you're doing, and the things we'll see in a minute, this word conviction. If you say you have a conviction about something, that is something from the inside out, not the outside in. And I've shared this multiple times that I grew up watching people who were doing the right thing, but very rarely would I find someone who believed the right thing from the heart and that it was coming from the inside out, not the outside in. So you say, well, I'm doing the right thing. I will take someone who's struggling with doing the right thing, but their heart is pure and they're letting God do what this says, search the heart, test the mind, and see what's really up in there, than someone who can pull off some show. So there are people that you watch and you go, wow, she's a great lady. He's a great guy. They're doing the right thing. And then you watch them and you listen and you go, ooh, but something's not right there. You can't figure out what it is. And they don't know how to tell you. And then you sit down and you listen to them and you talk to them and they begin to talk about their mind, their heart, the core of the person, not what they've managed to do in the outward world, but what's really in here. And they say, I don't like me. I don't like what I think, what I see, what I say, what no one hears, what nobody knows about me. But God knows, okay? Go to John 16. So this is Jesus talking to his followers. John 16, verse 5, and Jesus says this to them, but now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the helper, and by the way, the helper here is the Holy Spirit. So if I don't leave, the Holy Spirit doesn't come. The helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, when the Holy Spirit comes up, what does he do? He will convict the world of sin. And of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. So what is one of the first thing, the primary thing that is mentioned that when the Holy Spirit comes, he's the comforter, yes. But what does he do? He'll come into the world and convict the world of what? Sin. You cannot become a Christian without being made aware of your sin. You're not lost. You don't need anybody. So you're aware, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I need Jesus to rescue me. And you say, I'm a sinner, he died for my sins, buried, raised from the dead, so you begin to understand. The same thing is true as a Christian. He convicts the world, he convicts us of sin. And when you submit these things, you begin to submit more things, and you say, but then I've lost control of my life. Exactly. Because Jesus said, if you're going to follow him, what are you going to do? You're going to deny yourself daily, take up your cross, follow him. You know what? I am not interested in denying me. I like me. I want to do what me wants to do. I don't like those verses. But it is impossible for you to truly follow him unless you're willing to say no to yourself, yes to him. Now you say, well, Richard, nobody's interested in this stuff you're talking about. Yes, they are. Because the Holy Spirit finishes what he starts. And if he lives in you, he is working in you and through you. He's trying to keep you moving and growing. And so you say, well, I've already got it all figured out. No, you haven't. Till you see Jesus hit that finish line, he is constantly working on our lives. So his job is, the Holy Spirit's job, when he has come, and he has come, he convicts the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. Go to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, you are an inexcusable man, whoever you are, who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. I've said this repeatedly. Pay attention to who you're judging. And say, okay, God, show me just for one day who I judge. And you'll be amazed at what he reveals to you about what your problem is. It's like putting a mirror up. And he says, fascinating that you observe that in them, because that's what I've been trying to get your attention about for years, decades maybe. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds, eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek, but glory, honor, peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for there is no partiality with God. So look at these options. God comes along and says, look, I'm being long-suffering, forbearing, good to you, and it is his goodness that leads you to repentance. He says, look, what are we doing? This is never going to work. I'm trying to give you every chance to repent, to say, I'll do your will, and you won't. What do we do instead? But in accordance with the hardness in your impenitent heart, you treasure up for yourself wrath. So your heart gets hard. Let me tell you something about a heart. When the Holy Spirit touches you and says, this has got to change, and you say no, another layer, it gets harder. And you say no, and it gets harder. Your heart gets hard, and it becomes impenitent. You are unwilling to repent. No matter who tells you, no matter what the verses say, you go, I will not yield. And that does not go well for anyone. Never has, never will. And see, in my foolish mind, I drive, I get more brazen. I go faster and I keep going. I go, I don't get caught. I am so smart. I know certain roads where the police camp out. I'm not stupid. I will slow down. What am I, some kind of idiot? He will stop me. And then I had this thought. Okay, I like going fast. I get tickets. I'll pay the tickets. I'll keep going fast. They're not going to arrest me or something. I'm just going to pay the fine. At some point, it's not about doing the right thing when you're being watched by authorities. It's doing the right thing because it's the right thing. What a simple concept. And if you're a parent, that's the whole story. You're not trying to raise kids that obey when you're watching. You're trying to raise kids who will do the right thing when no one's watching. But we want to have some loophole for us where God can't expect the same thing. It's nuts. We are nuts. And he is forbearing and long-suffering and keeps coming our way. Go to Romans 13. I started reading this to another group recently and never got through it, but this will help you. It's funny when I read this passage to anybody, inevitably someone will come up with the most extreme reason why this shouldn't work. Just immediately, oh, but what about this? Okay, I'm going to ask you to do something. I don't need your extreme examples. I need you just to read what it says and say, are you willing to do what it says? Not explain away why you have some loophole. If you keep coming up with loopholes, that should tell you something about who and where you are. Right? Oh, but what about those people? You know, when I share the gospel with somebody, I had this the other day, this brilliant guy, he told me he didn't believe in God, young guy, 20-something years old, and he started, you know, he wants to talk about black holes and all the universe, like quoting stuff in the Bible. I say, now you're quoting the Bible. And he's just like, dude, what are you talking about? All these thoughts, all these ideas, why he doesn't believe there's a God. And finally looked at him and I said, look, I'm going to say this as gently as I can. Dude, you're a fool. And I said, I'm not saying that. The Bible says that. How can you look at this universe? You say, well, he was all upset. No, because he knew I cared about him or I wouldn't be having the conversation. But he had all these rationalizations. Stop going to all of that and just stick to what it says. Look at Romans 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinances of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. So I had this conversation recently with someone, and it was, I'll tell you this first. I had a guy call me who was in one of the services, and he called me, and I had mentioned a bunch of stuff in the service, and he called and says, I was there Sunday. I said, okay. He said, it didn't go well for me. He said, because you went through a bunch of stuff. And he said, one of the things that hit me is while you were speaking, I had undocumented workers in my employment. While you were speaking, it dawned on me, I don't pay my taxes. While you were speaking, it occurred to me that I have a foul mouth. He said, so it didn't go well for me. But thank you for speaking the truth because I'm working on these things. Okay? So all of my doctor's appointments don't go well when I don't do well before I go. If I just get something, that's one thing. But if I don't take care of myself and I get there and I'm sick, you got to stop being shocked that you feel like whatever when you don't take care of yourself. So you have to stop being shocked that your life is not going well when you won't submit and do what he says. I've had a number of these conversations with people say, well, yeah, but here's all my loopholes. I'm like, look, you're going to do whatever you want to do anyway, but I don't want you to say when it happens. These are the calls I get. Oh, Richard, can we come meet with you? I'm like, well, what's going on? Well, I'll tell you when we get there. And they come in, and most of the appointments are about what? I wouldn't submit to, they don't say it in these words. I wouldn't submit to God. My life is all screwed up. What do I do now? Let me give you a great piece of advice. Do the right thing now, and we don't have to have these meetings. I love meeting with people, but it gets old when you give people advice, scripture, truth, and then they go out and live like hell and come back, please pray for me. Dude, I'm going to pray God whoops your butt. Because that's the only thing going to get your attention, so we stop having these conversations. So in this category, look what he says. Therefore, whoever resists the authority, resists the ordinance of God. Those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. So you say, well, I figured it out. And then you get a ticket. Or you figured it out, and then the government does come in. The government does stop you. I had a conversation with a guy this week. A guy used to live in California. And he said, they go into landscaping companies and shut them down. People go out of business, bankrupt, shut them down. Well, no one was enforcing the law. Just because no one enforces a law doesn't mean they can't. And you can't stand in a courtroom and go, well, but all my buddies were doing it. You know, we don't teach our kids this. Find out what the law is. But immediately go, yeah, but. You know what? Get off your butts and just do what it says. Enough of the butts. And don't be shocked, at least, when you bring judgment on yourself. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Now, this is personal for me. I've driven by some police officers doing the speed limit. And I'm like, oh, this is amazing. I'm so calm. And they're, how are you, sir? And, you know, I'm unafraid. Why am I unafraid? Because I'm going the speed limit. Well, yeah, but that's boring, dude. You're not having any fun. I've had all my fun. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. Now look at this. This is so unbelievable. It's in the Bible. For he is God's what? Minister. Think about government terms throughout history. Minister of Agriculture, Minister of Defense, Prime Minister. Where do you think these words come from? From the Bible. They literally took it out of the Bible and said, government people are ministers. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. So you say, well, but I'm not getting caught, so I don't have any wrath. What about your conscience? I don't feel bad. That's a problem. Then your conscience is seared. Your heart is so hard, your conscience is seared. You don't even care anymore. That's a problem. You say, well, but it's working out great for me. Here's where you miscalculate. He doesn't let it go. I talked to a guy one time, and he was dealing drugs, a lot of drugs. Had been no problems with the law for years, and was dating some girl who was on Xanax, I think, and he went somewhere to get Xanax for her and had a blinker out on his car and got stopped by the police. And they realized he had had a previous record, said, do you mind if we search your car? And gone, not over what he was doing, but over what he went to get for her. You say, well, I'm not going to get caught. Let me tell you something about my God, and if you're a Christian, your God, you will get caught. Whatever you cover, he uncovers. Whatever you uncover, he covers. So don't mess with this God. He is a holy, living, loving, patient, long-suffering, but eventually he says, okay, all this is not working. I got to get their attention. And there are people in this room who God has gotten their attention in very painful ways. Incarceration, DWI, all kind of issues. It's going to get worse here, so just keep reading. Verse 5, therefore you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes. This is in the Bible, people. This is not your opinion. People say, well, I'm not paying these taxes. I think the government gets too much. Look, if you don't like this place, get out of this country. I am so tired of this. Oh, I don't like this. Then move. Get you a visa to somewhere you like better. You're not going to like it better because this is one of the best places on the planet still. So keep your mouth shut. Whining and complaining. My gosh, people, if you don't like being American, go somewhere else. Or do something to change what, you know, you don't like. Well, that wasn't in my notes. Verse 8, for because of this you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Just do it.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
Let me just read this really quick. This is in Revelation chapter 3. In verse 3, he says this to the church in Sardis. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. To the church of the Laodiceans, he says, verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent. And what does repent mean? It means to change your mind. It means you stop saying that what I say is okay. I'm going to say what God says is right, and I'm going to do that. I'm going to confess it. I'm going to forsake it. Something is going to change. What now is going to change? Interesting thing about fresh fruit is that's the only way you get fresh squeezed anything. So if you want fresh squeezed, you're going to have some fresh fruit. And if you go back over into Hebrews, the reason scripture is so important, now listen to this, just listen. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So God takes his word, two-edged sword, slices into your life and says, I'm putting the squeeze on. But there's no juice without the squeeze. Are you willing to submit to that? So you say, well, I'm struggling with something. Then keep struggling. Climb in your closet and say, God, until you win, I lose. And I don't know how we're going to do this, but I know you've shown me an area, if not more than one, and I'm yielding myself what is in my heart, the intent, the thoughts, the intents of my heart. Am I willing to do what you're telling me to do, not lock up, harden my heart, and say, no, I will not? That doesn't go well for children in homes. It doesn't go well for children in God.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. There's only one reason we do this program: to take the planet with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our message and our mission. And you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to share with someone about the change they've made in your life. And we'd love to hear your story as to how the talks have made a difference to you. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellistalks.com. And while you're there, check out all the fun and informative pages we put together for you, richardellistalks.com. While you're there, be sure to click on the Contribute tab at the top to send your generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.